Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to episode 421 of Fourth and Drawn. I'm Dale Saunders here with Tim Kincaid on a beautiful Friday afternoon, just celebrating the two people that have been inserted to the nest. I think everybody after last season, they wanted some change. We got some change. We got Kellen Moore in the building and Vic Fangio, who was in the building a couple of years ago. But the fact that we have new coordinators gives Eagle fans, I'd say, some hope. And at the end of the day, with the roster like we had, you want hope. And you hope and pray that the coaches can get things right. Because, you know, going back and watching some of the Eagles' offense at the last half of the season was really, really ugly. It was very painful. The concepts were very stale. Defensively, players were confused. A lot of players running around with their hair on fire with no place to go. We switched defensive coordinators halfway through the season. Weird change of events. Heard a lot of chirping. Not every day do I try to go dig and find information. But I did dig and find information, and I got my own grasp of what I heard that was going on. And now we try to make sense of things. And then at the end of the season, all these coordinators are gone. So what I heard kind of ties into what transpired. So hopefully they're all on the same page. I felt a little bit of warmth in my heart. Watching the pressers. But I mean, what was your initial reaction watching the pressers?
Excitement. Definitely see the excitement. Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore seems like he's really eager for the season to start today, like the rest of us Eagle fans are. We miss football. One thing I can take for and as a good note is it can't get worse. I'm just being 100 and being transparent with you. It can't get worse. So Eagle fans, sit back, relax, let the playbook hit the players, soak it in, and when it comes for September, August, we're ready to go.
Shout out to Evan Hollywood Hearn on his little vacation this weekend. Hopefully he's having a great time. Shout out to Primo. Shout out to Hollis, who's traveling and on the go. But shout out to you Eagle fans who are out here on Friday just talking football, Eagles football like you want to. I mean, I always want to. That's just part of my nature. Shout out to Andrew.
It's in our DNA, bro. It's in our DNA.
Andrew says, "Sup, boys? Let's go Birds." Mark Bird chiming in from Oregon. What's up, real ones? I already spoke to Mark. We're sending Eagle kicks back and forth.
Same here.
Eagles hire. You know,
can we make a group chat of this? Because, like, what's up?
I mean, we could. Shout out to Dustin. We got Eagles Philly. He says, what's up, fellas? Mr. Cross, the gamer. Go check him out on Twitch. Let's go. It's football season now. 843 checking in. What's up, man? And then Mr. Sergeant Walker in the building.
Philly in the house.
Yeah, the Fangio thing, it's the storyline of him coming home after all these years. You're talking about a guy who's had a storied career in terms of coaching. You know, you talk about the last time he was here in Philadelphia coaching. He was a defensive assistant for the USFL, Philadelphia Baltimore Stars in 1984, the 85 season. He helped them. Helped the team win back-to-back championships before the league folded. But he's been a coach for 38 years. And 21 years as a defensive coordinator is nothing to laugh at. And just the idea of him just saying, I don't know, again, it doesn't take much for me as a Philadelphia fan to be, you know, once he says, you know, I've always been a Philly fan. Like the fact that he loves the Phillies, like we all love the Phillies.
Yeah, he loves
the fact that he loves the Eagles, like we all love the Eagles. I'm not a big Flyers guy. I'm just not a hockey guy. Maybe you guys can teach me more about hockey. But in general, just the fact that he has family, his mother, who's 97, 2 hours north. His kids live 2 hours south of Philadelphia. And it kind of hits home. I mean, me personally, having to move closer to my father, who's in his 90s, to be closer is a thing. And in terms of wanting to be here, he has a lot of reason to be here, not only the team, but the family, but also just he wants to retire here. I like the fact that he's an older coach.
Yeah.
He's been a head coach. Maybe he can add some of his wisdom with Coach Sirianni, who's Mr. CEO coach. But what was your – I mean, what are your feels on that Fangio
This is what I love about Fangio is he's a Philadelphia guy. Philadelphia native, grew up a Sixers, a Philly fan. But this is what I want you guys to check out. He is 286 and wins with 228 with losses, three ties. That ties him up to be a 56 percentage winning. 18 playoff appearances, 10 NFC East titles. Seven NFC championships, three Super Bowls, one Lombardi. That is somebody with a pedigree that has been in this game for a long time. You know what I mean? And has the record, those defenses he had with the Niners, bro. That come on. That Niner defense was that, I want to say, was that 2012, 2011, 13 in that area with Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis and those guys. That was a great defense. Unfortunately, they lost to the Ravens, but I just love the way he came through the presser. He's basically just saying, hey, I'm back, and I'm going to make this probably my last. So this is going to be, you know, I want him to at least 2 years, please. I'm tired of having different coordinators every year.
I mean, you think about Jim Johnson being an older coach at that time. Right. You know, I love Jim Johnson. I still to this day, I still miss Jim Johnson, but just the older coach, you know, the talks in Miami. I know some of the players didn't actually mesh right with the coaches, with Fangio, but he spoke to that in his press conference. And, he just said it is what it is, but he felt like he had to do what needed to be done for the defense. And again, If I want this defense corrected, we went last year with one of his disciples in Desai. I think, and I've always mentioned it, like the last couple of weeks, months or whatever, we got McDonald's, not McDowell's now. So you want the real thing, you got the real thing. You look at the situation that was set up with Gannon messing things up by the end of the time that we figured out we weren't going to have a defensive coordinator. Fangio took the job with Miami, but I think even if he doesn't say it out loud, if there's something that he feels like maybe he has to adapt his his coaching style a little bit to the younger players and figure out things. But again, players in Miami, I just feel like the nightlife can affect your attention, a lot of focus. So, I mean, in Philly, you don't have the temptation and the wildlife of, hey, my brother spent, what, a decade working in the Miami clubs in Miami. I'm sure the focus was lacking from those players. This is wild. It's a wild scene down there.
Listen, when I turned 22, I was down in Miami, and I was wilding out. So, yeah. I mean, he's old school. He's an old school coach. So, you know, there's things that he said, man. He, you know, this is what I love, this quote from Vic Fangio. I love football because, you know, he was a baseball. He was going to actually try to coach baseball. But he loved football much because he only played once a week. And this is what he meant. This is what he said. He says, I love to practice. I love to teach. I love that. What? I love to practice. I love to teach. When you're teaching, man, you're educating people. When you're learning, you get better. You know what I mean? And holding those accountable to be able to learn. So I'm all for it, bro. I'm happy. I'm so happy he's here.
Yeah. I mean, in his presser, he did talk about throwing a lot at his defense early so they could pick it up. So meanwhile, fast forward into the season, your players aren't, stalling out because they haven't seen what you throw at them. So he said he's going to throw a lot at them early to figure out what works and what sticks. I do think, I think the Eagles players that were here definitely have to, it's got to be embarrassing. That downfall last season, the way that I'm sure some of the players, I mean, hopefully they've taken it to heart. The players that are coming back that were on the defense last year, hopefully they're taking it to heart. I think it's a great opportunity for them to put their best foot forward. He spoke on a couple of the players in this new defense. He talked about Quinyon Mitchell. He said he's obviously got good movement. He's got good size for a corner. He's going to have to adapt to the NFL game, covering NFL receivers, NFL schemes, and the passing game. There's a lot to learn, but we think he's the right guy emotionally and mentally to do that. And hopefully he'll pay dividends quickly rather than later. But he's going to be one of the many competing on Bryce Huff. He said he's been a good pass rusher for the Jets, playing in somewhat of a part-time role. Hopefully we can make him proficient enough to where he plays more, meaning his run play, and on the occasion or two that we might drop him in coverage. I know that might be shocking to some people. Don't let it hurt your feelings, but he's going to have some guys drop. Hence the Jalix Hunt pick that he can develop. Now he talks about Jalen Carter. I think he's talented enough that no matter what we do with him, we'll be maximizing him. He's got to get in great shape, which I think he's off to a great start here, so we can play him a lot. On Jordan Davis, he's heading into his third year. I think he's off to a good start this offseason. I don't have anything to compare it to, not having been here the first 2 years, but I think he's working good. I think he's rounding into good shape. It's up to us to give him the opportunity and platform to get in good shape and then rely on him when he leaves here in that dead time between the offseason and camp. But from what I've seen so far, very encouraging. I know he did mention something about Bond as well. He said, we got Bond here, who's played a little bit of inside linebacker in New Orleans. He didn't really play a whole lot of defense there, but he was inside some, more outside. We think he can play inside and have not seen anything so far otherwise. It also talked about Devin White, but one thing from that, I did hear him mention get in shape. Do we think that has been a topic of a conversation? I mean, we've been talking about the gummy bears and Jordan Davis since you got drafted. He's been very transparent about him not being in shape when he was in Georgia. I thought he did a better job this year, but I think, you know, it was his first full year. But I think he's got to know what it takes now to get your body through a full NFL season. I think Jalen Carter can say the same thing. you know, a lot of these players do hit the wall second half of the season.
Most definitely. What I say about this is, I mean, do you want me to read the Devin White one portion?
Yeah, go ahead.
So obviously we got Devin White here from Tampa. You guys are all aware of him. He has a great career going. He had a down year last year, whatever reason. We hope to get him back to where he was. That right there basically says to me is, we all know. And Vic says, we need to get you back to what you were first year, second year, third year. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was not him not getting a contract, not being motivated. I'm not sure. I don't know. What do you think on the Devin White comment?
I think Devin White was, you know, going back and watching some Devin White stuff. I think he was freelancing. He was doing his own thing at certain times. I think, you know, being sometimes you just have to like know your role. And obviously he's a playmaker. I mean, he's a guy that can play downhill and get to the quarterback. He's a very solid blitzing linebacker, but I think sometimes his aggressiveness showed. But again, I think Devin White, he had a little issue with the he wanted to get paid, and that didn't happen. I don't know if that affected his play. He ended up getting benched at times. So I think he's got a lot to play for, because you have a solid year this year with the Eagles. It's gonna net you another contract. So he's got a lot of incentive, just like DeAndre Swift. He came here for a year, balled out, got himself paid. I think the same thing with Devin White. I think it's an opportunity where he can get paid if he plays well. But I think it is what it is. We know. But shout out to Rome in the building. He said, "What's up, bro?"
What up?
Shout out to Conrad as well. Happy Friday, Bird Gang. You know, in Toronto, right? Just watching some of the, you know, stuff on Vic Fangio. He really wants to limit explosive plays. I think from a mental standpoint, he really wants to get into the head of these quarterbacks out here. The fact that they're, you know, the pre-snap movement, where the safeties are moving around a little bit. You can't tell, you know, everything kind of looks the same. I just love the fact that from a cerebral standpoint, your quarterback has to be on point. You really have to be the technique. You have to trust what you're seeing as a quarterback, and you have to make them think. So, I mean, the lack of explosive plays is going to be a thing. I mean, that's what we were trying to do last year. But I think in general, I think we have the real deal here. So I feel like he did in the presser talk about having the right pieces in place. So I do think you do have to. I mean, if you have the right players in place, there's things that our defense couldn't do last year that we did the year before with guys like CJ, GJ. I think you add guys that can actually move in space. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell, we've got some juice. I'm really, really interested to see how they deploy Cooper DeJean.
I think the biggest thing is seeing guys, having guys in the positions and then having flexibility in those positions. Let's get it. So that's the biggest thing, man. I think is just having flexibility in these positions, and then having a whole bunch of wild cards and confusing the heck out of the quarterback's eyes. You know, playing with their eyes to see what they want to see. We have one more with N'Kobe Dean. With the N'Kobe Dean, the mention from last year, Jeremiah Trier got in and joined the fray, and let's see what he has. Odin Brooks, too, has been a veteran backup. He's in the hunt. We've seen him get torched in the Super Bowl, but he was basically thrown in the fire. So let's give him a break on that one. We don't have anybody established per se as an Eagle, but we've got guys that can work, and we're happy to have this group so far.
You know, you said so far. I mean, the talks of a lot of people.
Yeah.
that we have, we feel like they're not done. I mean, as of right now, if you look, if the money is money, like the way we know how he has the money, right now the Eagles, the cap, they're at 30.3 million. Yesterday was 30.4. Now it's at 30.3. The day before that was at 30.5. So right now, via the NFLPA Association, it's 30.3 mil. That's a lot of money. So to me, that says there's one move that there's a couple moves in the making.
Can I say it?
I mean, I'll say it. Justin Simmons, man.
Yes.
If you add him into the mix, as you try and study this defense, the same person keeps popping up all over film that you watch. It's some safety that's flying up, making tackles. Who is out there on the streets right now? The Broncos did give his number away. So they gave it to one of the rookies. So
it's gone. He ain't come back.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, this is the thing though. Like, I think there might be two more signings. I'm gonna say the names that we already got some Simmons out the way. I wouldn't be supposed to not be mad about Calais Campbell. Might have to get another,
as a veteran.
Yeah, the veteran leadership. And a guy that loves culture, team locker room guy, always happy. Yeah, got another uncle laugh. Pair him up with BG. I will love that. And you can run a NASCAR package and do everything that you want to do. That's a big body to come at you, bro. 6'8", 6'9", defensive end or
defensive end. Oh, he's not 6'9".
He's 6'8".
This guy be always trying to make big. He ain't 6'8".
With cleats, bro. Big dude.
Bro, you be hitting all the heights wrong every time.
We gotta act like they're giants, bro. Why gotta put it in the world, bro. Put it out there for the world.
I'll be getting emails like, hey man, Tim on your podcast last episode, he said Calais Campbell was 6'9". That is not right. Bro, I mean I get the emails. Shout out to Brendan in the building. He says Bird Gang. Rome says I feel Quandre Diggs or Simmons. Now Quandre Diggs, also a great friend of Slay. I mean, he's definitely he's an option. Daz chimes in. He says, we need another big name linebacker and another D lineman. And I think the way that the Eagles are set up at linebacker position, this might be. You talk about a JOK from Cleveland. That's Evan. Evan was a huge JOK fan. Remember, we wanted him. He ended up going in the second round. Daz also chimes in. He also says Calais Campbell would be a good option for the D-line. We'll see. Now, Conrad says, will Milton Williams get more rotation? Of course, I think Milton Williams, this is his best opportunity to shine.
He's gonna get that bag.
He's gonna be an integral part of this defense. I mean, he's gonna make it. We'll see if that argument in the draft room. Remember when the draft of Milton Williams and the guy that was in there with Howie was like, didn't want to give high fives.
Wasn't that Dominic or somebody like that?
I forget who it was, but
he didn't even pound him.
This will be his year to shine. So I think if he wants to make some money, this should be the year. 843 chimes in. He says, with our new addition, offense, defense, special teams, all the way down our practice squad, we should be able to plug and play if someone goes down. We have a lot of talented guys. There's also a linebacker that was here on the streets as well, Zach Cunningham. Who's out in the streets? I thought he gave us a great year for where he came from off the streets.
Oh, for sure. And he was the best linebacker we had against the run. Mm. And then you see when he went down, bro, that running game was.
Mm. What are you saying?
Big bro.
You just glitched in the matrix. What are you saying?
Oh, I did. Cunningham. I was saying Cunningham was he was the only linebacker that was good against the run for the Eagles. And then when he went down, it was a big loss when he went down with an injury.
Yeah. Now Mel Williams, Sergeant Walker says Bill Williams may dethrone Jordan. I think this is a really big year for Jordan. I think he's got to keep the integrity of this defense, man in the middle, and it's really an interesting. It's gonna be interesting to watch. I think we need him.
Yes, yeah, I'm totally agree with you on. I think the biggest thing is gap integrity, in the fundamentals of tackling. That was the biggest I've never seen when pros make it and they let the fundamentals just run out the door. The gap integrity and the tackling was atrocious. It was like they didn't trust each other or they didn't know where the hell, what gap to fill, no nothing, A, B, B, C, and C. Like, it was ridiculous. That needs to improve. I'm hoping that definitely gets better.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fundamentals is really it's going to be huge. You know, I think playing with detail. I think you put in two different defensive coordinators. I mean, the word that I had gotten from a player that was on this defense last year, that the coaches were coaching for their jobs, which spoke to that the coaches that we had were coaching for their jobs, which both of them lost their jobs. Both of them were out of the, between Patricia and between Desai, they were both coaching for their jobs. I think Fangio was, in theory, the guy that we always wanted. But I think the level of detail that he brings will be definitely interesting. I mean, a lot of things that you like with the Fangio defense. It's got the too high structure, which allows for flexibility in the secondary. Safeties can move before, after snap. They can react from depth. And then I think you have guys like Reed Blankenship. No, I'm still interested to see where his role is. Like, do they really believe he's that dude? But I think Fangio's defense uses the appearance of simplicity. The same exact defensive look can end up with like different coverages, pressures, and assignments. So I think I'm going to see a lot of I'm hoping to see a lot of confusion across the way. You know, yeah. I really think from a mental aspect point, like when you get a quarterback confused, and they start seeing ghosts.
They start thinking.
And then, obviously getting pressure with four will be huge. Yes. So
I think the most thing that I'm really excited about is to see the 3-4. And what I mean by that is defensive ends will be playing tighter than other schemes. Also with their alignment, they can be shift on basis, right? It just depends on what type of the formation of the offense of the, whatever the office is going through. Linebackers can play on the line like as edge setters, as your safeties can fill in the holes and fill in the gaps. That's what I want to see. This confusion's with it and see like where are they going to be throwing, my mind is blown because I'm seeing you. Shout out to you. Shout out to Gail. I give Gail flowers. I was watching. Oh my goodness! I think it was the I want to say it was the nickel corner, and it was like a double. It was a double down corner, and the corner came out of nowhere, and he was in a nickel position, and he sacked the quarterback. I want to see that. Can I get that from Dijon or Maddox? I want to see the rotation. I'm so excited about
that. I mean, nickel blitzes, but the way that he deploys his blitz. I mean, he's not going to blitz a lot, but I think, if he does have the players to do so, you might see a couple extra more blitzes when you have a guy like Devin White, who
I believe so.
It's one, I mean, he's always going to throw wrinkles. Like, everyone's like, you know, obviously he has his tendencies. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think Vic Fangio, you know, I'm more interested to see the difference if it's a night and day difference between the communication aspect. Because my thing is, the communication is super key for this defense to be successful. You know what I'm saying? Like playing cover four, cover six, and everything he's going to throw at them, cover eights and all, you name it. Like, it's all about the communication. Like, and if these players are dialed in and locked in, then these guys can start freelancing and do some crazy shit if the communication is key. Like, you saw CJ and James Bradbury have phenomenal years last year. I mean, 2 years ago. I mean, if you look at last year's team with guys out of here, younger guys in place, the lack of communication and confusion, that's what you saw that on the field. So at the end of the day,
especially the back end. The back end looked lost. Lost.
Speaking of lost, the Eagles offense last year was supremely lost. And I think it was a struggle bus between, I don't know if it was a power thing and the control of who was calling plays and whatnot. But I feel like it was definitely, you definitely saw an issue with the communication and the lack of creativity. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Eagles did what they needed to do. And they brought in a new offensive coordinator in Mr. Kellen Moore. So, I mean, talking about Kellen Moore, his presser, you know, was interesting. I think at the end of the day, you know, he's talking about the pieces that we have in place. The Eagles have some good guys in place right now. A good foundation to build off. Any offensive coordinator, any offensive coordinator is got to be excited to have Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert, AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith. That is a huge nucleus to work with. So obviously seeing what works and seeing what didn't work will be very key. But, I mean, what were your takeaways from Kellen Moore's presser?
It seems like he's a kid in a candy store. He's going to have a utility belt. I'm going to call him Batman. He just seems really excited about the talent on the roster. The thing that I'm a little worried about is just seeing, like, does the new offensive terminology come from Dallas, the LA, or is it going to be all in between or all together? That's like the biggest thing that you're worried about is terminology, because these players have been playing football for years. It doesn't change. Yes, plays are different, but can you get used to it? Can your player get used to the coach? Can the coach get used to the player? That's the only thing that I'm concerned about. I'm also concerned about, and this is the biggest thing, and I will say this. Kellen Moore was basically asked, he told everybody that he's going to vow to tweak the offense, but doesn't want to lose the good thing. That's already there. How can we build off those good things and really connect the whole entire thing? Hey.
I mean, the good thing is all those players I had mentioned previously. I mean, the good thing is you have the players in place to make this thing work. You saw what he did with Dallas's offenses. They were explosive at times. My thing with this offense, which was atrocious, and the lack of creativity was not there. You know, in the presser, Kellen Moore talked a lot about pre-snap motion. The Eagles were last in the league in motion usage, which was, I'm trying not to swear, try not to use swear words. But the fact that we deployed our defense and we put Jalen Hurts, you at the end of the day, you want to put him in a position to succeed. Right. Lack of motion is like a language in itself. It's telling you what the defense is. It's like having an interpreter. Like you can see some of the motion.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
You can tell what's coming. That makes it easier for a quarterback to diagnose what's going on. But we were last in the league in doing so. So that doesn't really help matters, you know.
But when he's talking about the good things, like is he like, I hope you're not talking about the tunnel wipers, tunnel screens. No. And Nick's.
Have you seen his screen game?
Yeah, I see. No. So I'm getting to that. What I'm saying is Nick's, a little bit of Nick's offense. I don't want to see it. That's what I don't want to see. I do not want to see Nick Sirianni's offense in this. No, I don't. I'm done with it. There was a reason why he had to give it up to Shane Steichen. And Shane Steichen took it over. And what happened? We was rolling. And don't forget to run the ball. Run the ball opens up the field. You know, it was to the point that we was getting one dimensional in games. So,
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm talking about. I don't want the good. Listen, the week through, I think week 10, right? 1 through 10, we were good. Get it. You know what I'm saying? But we were escaping wins. We were scraping the barrel in these wins. But when it got to the net, when it got down to the nitty-gritty of winning games and like things that need to get done, common sense, we didn't have it because that offense was basically being ran by with the left arm.
I mean, yeah, it was just looked like old Yeller, man. And then they had rabies and you wanted to put it down. That's what it looked like. But Sports King says, does anyone get the sense that Nick doesn't have any power? When they call him the CEO coach, I feel like he's just kind of like not a fly on the wall. But I think in terms of nurturing the culture, you know, he brought that. You know, I got an opportunity to go down to NovaCare. Shout out to Coach Singleton, who gave us a tour through the complex. And just talking about the competition that he set in place. You know, there you see the hoops everywhere. You see that the competition is there. I mean, these guys are always talking about it. I forget who in the comments talked about that competition earlier and that culture they're building right now. That from some of the videos they're sharing, but. At the end of the day, I mean, you still have to think about, like, Kellen Moore also interviewed for Sirianni's job before Sirianni. Is that a coach in a glass, coach in a bottle, just in case if things don't work out, you have an offensive minded coach. I mean, if you're looking at Shane Steichen in Indiana, do you think? I'm not saying that they have thought, but I'm saying, do you think it crossed the mind of the Eagles that, I don't know, did we let the wrong guy out of the NovaCare? Did we, or you know, do we? Is that the guy who was running this offense the way we want it run? Not to say that I'm not taking anything away from Nick and what the culture he built right here, but I'm just saying, did they look at Steichen and say, maybe we? We want that in our offense because you look at the way our offense is run. the way we didn't attack the middle of the field, the way that Steichen was using motion. But yeah, I got my gripes. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. Some things that I looked at our offense last year, the lack of explosive run concepts. We were running 53% inside zone last year out of the shotgun alignment, which, you know, we were first in the league in running inside zone. Mm-hmm. You know, that was our bread and butter for the run, 53%. So if we know the Eagles are running inside zone 53%, you don't think the NFL knows we're running inside zone out of shotgun when we run the ball? Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Everybody, like, you could see when we were going to run the ball. So then the other part of that is, you know, we didn't even our play action game was whack because everything was so predictable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, our play action, like, people, we know we weren't running out of that. And some of the way that we tried to do play action. And then on top of that, you know, when you're bottom in the NFL and the use of motion, and then we were last in the league in runs from under center, last in the league in passes from under center. So with Kellen Moore, we were going to get more under center from Jalen Hurts.
Yes, sir.
This is factual. That to me, that's how many times we were just like, "Yo, can we just get a easy just under center Jalen and hand it off to the running back? Right. Maybe we can get some outside zones going. I mean, for real. I mean, what do you think we're going to see differently from Kellen Moore that we didn't see last year?
You're going to get more 12 personnel. And underneath the center, last year, you know how geeked up I was when I see Jalen going underneath the center and just say, I'm like, okay, here we go. We're about to play some football. And then audible, we out of it. I'm like, oh, here we go with the shotgun. And I'm pretty sure I can speak for people that played running back. It is so much easier to get the ball when your quarterback is play action or underneath the center. I'm sorry, I'm going underneath the center. Than seeing the play develop and putting the ball on your belly, because you gotta learn and read. You know what I mean? It's just so much easier getting underneath the center. All right, I know what I'm going. I know what hole to hit, where I want to go. What I don't like was, oh well, we're doing read option. That is a running play. Bro, quit playing. We're Eagle fans. We're smarter than that. Stop playing. Don't play me as Boo Boo the Fool now. Come on now. That was Nick's go-to. Why are we not running the ball? Well, we're doing RPOs. That is running the ball. Come on, bro.
Mr. Cross says, the Nick doesn't have any power. Sounds like radio BS. A lot of coaches today. I think he has his power. I just think in terms of where they feel that's his strength. But again, you know, the rumors are rumoring out there with, you know, the Eagles are always 10 steps ahead. If they don't feel like Nick's the guy, you already know they've got their feelers and ideas. But again, I think, you know, I think everything last year was on display. It was all on display. The lack of, I mean, you're talking about it's like horse racing. You have a jockey that's riding this. You got the wrong jockey riding this horse. It's going to go off the track. You know what I mean? We had the horses last year to win this thing. But I just think I didn't think the coordinators. I just think they fell apart. But again, we thought they were 10 steps ahead, but maybe not in that department. But shout out to SMD Eagles. He says new subscriber. I'm here because Daz recommended your channel. Shout out to you, Daz. She said, they say they're enjoying the show. I appreciate you stopping in. 843 says, man, if Sirianni was to get replaced with Morris, as head coach, Dallas fans would put Huggies out of business. I mean, my thing is, I think Dallas fans would be like, you know, I spoke to one of the beat reporters for the Cowboys. I met him down at the Senior Bowl. You know, he was just saying, like, I said, look, you're a guy who's dialed in. You know everything about the Cowboys. You know, tell me something about Kellen Moore, that about the run game, because I keep on hearing this whole thing about the run game. And if you check him out, Clarence Hill, that's who I was talking to. Great guy, by the way. He's a legend. He's like, he might not run the ball like the way that Eagle fans might want to, but he's going to run the ball. If you see, I was very intrigued by his, 12 personnel. That's what you look at Uzoma. I feel like he's going to be one of those guys that in that 12 personnel that they like to run from. I think he could be. And then again, with Saquon should be very effective in this offense.
Quick question. Does it seem real still that we got Saquon?
It don't.
I just want to make sure, because I'm not the only
this is how it doesn't seem real. I was down at the pro shop 2 weeks ago. I walked in, you know, I'm always lurking. But I saw the Saquon jersey. I looked at it. I said, all right, new watermark, cool. Let me check that out. I put the jersey on. Didn't feel right. Too soon. I felt kind of weird. I was like, yeah, I'm going to cop this Barkley, be the first one to get it. Too soon. It doesn't seem real yet. But it is what it is. Now, Sports King says, I think Nick is just a talker and a motivator. His X and O's is suspect. Interesting. I mean, my thing is the whole thing with the also that was mentioned is the loss of Big Dom last season to keep those guys under, I don't know, control. I don't know. We'll see.
This is what I think. I think a lot of it has to do with Nick feeds off the motion of the game. So he gets fired up. He cusses a lot because it's in the heat of the moment. So he gets out of character because he cares so much and explodes out of him. And he tends to tell players, shut up and go play. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I think it was the Miami game. Hassan Redick.
Was that the Arizona game?
They were
losing.
Yeah. And he's like, What are we doing? And Nick's like, he already said to play. Go out there and shut up and play. I was like, oh, man. If Dom's there, Dom's like, yo, it's good. He doesn't mean it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I need Nick to contain. I get it because I'm an emotional guy. I run off emotions. I'm emotional.
It's because you drink that Hennessy. That's why you're emotional. You know, are you drinking that brown liquor, like liquid courage? This guy drinking Incredible Hulks out here.
No.
Shout out to ECG in the building. Rome says, when you're last under center, last in pre-snap motion and lackluster play, we made defense. It's very true, man. And that's why it was so troubling to me and the lack of being able to pick up the blitz at the end of the season. Like, I mentally fell apart because I'm like, why can't y'all get it together? And by then, at the end of the season, rolling into the playoffs the way we did, woo!
Got to do better.
It got pretty silly. Bob from Down Under says, that's why Sirianni favors little running backs and accelerate from flat-footed faster. Works, but it became predictable after 3 years of the same shit. And if you look at some of the numbers, we threw more behind the line of scrimmage than ever, and got less yards. We held onto the ball longer last year, less effective. And then the middle of the field was not even utilized. But the thing you're going to see from Kellen Moore is a lot of some bunch looks, a lot of stacked looks. The fact that you can get AJ Brown in front of Devontae Smith, maybe the lack of press. You can't press Devontae in a stack look. I think the way that we were trying to deploy our guys last year is like throwing to these guys and just go make a play versus like making it easier for Jalen and scheming these guys open. I think that's where, at the end of the day, it's like just make it easier for the guys to get open. Scheme these guys open. I think when we talk about some of the screens, but I seen some play action looks that they had where they came back and threw a screen to a guy going in motion. By the time they hit the guy in motion, he's got his guys running. It's not like you're sitting dead to rights and you got Quez Watkins trying to run a screen. It's a guy that's in motion, which would be nice.
Yeah. You know what really irritated me last year was, speaking of screens, remember that Quez Watkins screen and he ran the wrong way? It was the LA game, Rams game.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, you had so much field to go up. Like,
oh yeah. Oh, that's the game where Sirianni like flipped.
Yeah, lost it. Yeah, he lost it. Yeah. That one. And then tacking, they wanted to tack the edges of the football field so much that, like you said, it was just, our offense was so predictable. Mm-hmm. It was so predictable.
Yeah, when people downplay the idea of Big Dom is, he's best in the business. He's one of those dudes that means a lot to this team. Bob always being positive in the chat. He says, no way Hurts respects Nick. Two different characters. Case of Beer says the feuding over calls last year. Kelsey was too. My thing is, if they didn't learn anything from last year, like if last year was used, it's got to be in the coach speak. If you're gonna take lessons from what transpired last year, you're going to correct your mistakes. Now, whether the communication needs to be better, they all need to be on the same plane. And then the team, in terms of connecting, I have this saved in my saved in the it's a quote from Sirianni, which I was just like, it was interesting. Sirianni had said, and I don't know, I just have this saved on the back end. So he goes, what's important in the process of a season is that we build the connection, we build the team. So regardless of how much they're eating, everyone is excited for each other. Let me read that again. What's important in the process of a season is that we build the connection. We already talked about the connection loosening at the hinges, but we build it. We build the team. So regardless of how much they're eating, everyone is excited for each other. It's a weird quote.
There's another one then that Kellen Moore just said. And I quote, just making sure the language is consistent, right? To keep it really clean. And these players, so they can play fast and have fun.
I mean, playing fast is also a thing in terms of no huddle. We ask for tempo. How many times did we ask for tempo? We didn't see much of it. But that's where I'm sure we're going to use a lot more tempo next season. Getting the ball out of Jalen's hands quicker is going to be a thing this year. If not, I'm going down to NovaCare with a sign. Get it out of his hands quicker. Different alignments. I think the way that we run the ball should be different. It just makes it too predictable, man. at the end of the day, I think with the uses of like shifts, motions, bunches and stacks should really be the biggest difference. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's got to, and then it'll alleviate the pressure having Saquon Barkley, which still doesn't feel real.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. What I don't want to see is them doing these routes and then making the routes really, really long, and it's taking time for the routes to develop, and Hurts is holding on to the ball way too long. We've seen that quite a few times. Quite a few times, it was a spectacular play. I want to definitely – the one on top of my head was probably my favorite throw of the year last year was the one against Tampa Bay, Hurts to Zacchaeus. That was – man, that was beautiful, bread in the basket type of throw. But a lot of it, man, it was the routes just took too long to develop. Took too long.
Yeah, I mean, you got no hot routes. When the blitzers were coming, you got everyone running downfield. I mean, you know, scramble drill was like scrambled eggs. Scrambled drill means, you know, if you're going long, you come back. If you're short, you go deep. Right. It just didn't make sense. You know,
help the quarterback. Let me help you.
843 says, I think Quez Watkins' name is now forbidden to be spoken in Philly, along with Chip Kelly and the Cowboys. I'm about to go to his crib and get back those customs I made for him. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you need to.
Take them jobs back.
It is what it is.
He's in Pittsburgh, correct? In Pittsburgh.
I don't know. I've completely blocked him. I don't know. I think he is in Pittsburgh. Mr. Cross says, the funny part about a lot of Eagle fans didn't even know about Dom until last year. He's been with the Eagles for years, doing the same for all players and coaches. I mean, you talk to all the players, like, you know, they know about Dom. You talk about LaShawn and Deshaun and all those guys. He has helped us in more ways than you know. He's out here just spreading the good joy. Like, we were at the a couple years back, we were at the Eagles Autism Challenge, and it was Coach Lurie, not Coach Lurie, Jeffrey Lurie, walking around, and then we saw Big Dom, and we were like, yo, we want to get a picture with you, man. Big Dom, man, we always talk about you, Big Dom. He's like, me? This is prior to when people were asking Big Dom for photos, but I was like, bro, come on, man. I said, you're a legend, man. So we got a photo with Big Dom. He was cool about it. I'm glad he's getting his flowers. But again, at the end of the day, I was at the Senior Bowl, took a photo with him down there, got to talk to him a little bit. And I posted a photo, and underneath someone's like, does this guy ever work? I was like, what do you think he's doing down there? He's working. He's working. Always got his finger on the pulse. Shout out to Feast with Pete joining the chat. He says, y'all are live again. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the last 2 days. I mean, we felt like we had to talk about LaShawn and Deshaun. I thought that whole episode needed its own show. And I thought these two coordinators needed their own show. So we are going live. But we definitely wanted to get on and talk before we head into the weekend. I mean, but before we head into the weekend, I don't know if you know, there's a trip. If you're trying to go to Brazil, you know, make sure you hit up Philly Sports Trips and make sure to file them at Sports Trips PHL for more information. Tell Vince you want to go to Brazil, and they'll make the rest of it happen. Because, you know, I'm going to Brazil. Still got to get all my shit in order to get on this plane. Yes, I am going to wear green at some point in Brazil. I will be wearing Eagle stuff. I did see someone in the chat saying merch, hats. If you want a hat, I can go get a hat made for you, but you have to let me know and then I'll work it out. But yeah, definitely have merch this year. Got some stuff in the works. So if you're excited about the merch, That's four people have reached out to me in the last 2 days about merch. I've heard y'all. I have heard y'all. Bob from Down Under says, I never forgave Nick after he was screaming at the Colt fans, then caught literally crying on Howie's shoulder backstage. Pretty tough on Coach there, Bob.
I mean, he was really big fan of his mentor, Frank Wright.
Oh, when they went after Frank?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Man, it'll be interesting, man. Shout out to Pete. He is a big fan of the intro and outro. Appreciate you. Appreciate you guys for showing love. But if you guys have any questions before we get out or throw them up now, I want to give a big shout out to Bud Light for holding down the tailgates for all these years. Shout out to Bud Light. Shout out to Conscious Hawk and Italian Bakery for all the love they show every tailgate, and to all your Eagle fans out there or eating tomato pie. You know, big love to Conscious Hawk and Italian Bakery. Also, big shout out to Red Bull for giving our tailgates wings. Any big plans for the weekend? Oh, wait. You know, there is a big plan for the weekend. We should announce that it is some guy you guys might know. It's his birthday. Tim is having a birthday this week. So I feel like in the chat, I think you should show Tim some love. Is it going to be his birthday? You have any big things going on your birthday besides cheerleading camps?
Yeah. My daughter's in cheerleading, so we got state champs tomorrow. Got the competition tomorrow, so tomorrow is my birthday, and I'll be standing. I'm a spotter, so I'll be making sure that my daughter doesn't fall.
You didn't tell me you're in.
Yeah. Oh, so always, bro.
So you out here? I'm saying that you didn't tell me you're a cheerleader. Yeah.
I make the t-shirts.
I didn't know you were a cheerleader, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, bro. I had to turn my cleats and my basketball shoes to become a cheerleader, I guess. Number one cheerleader for my daughter. It's crazy to see my big ass as a cheer, but yeah, man. I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much. Yeah, birthday dinner tonight with my mom, my lovely mother, and my wife. And my kids, so yeah, super dope.
You know, I know you know the cheers too, man.
I just know one. I know one.
Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. No, I mean, I appreciate you, man. For all you do, man, and always bringing the positive energy. Happy birthday to you, big 39, big Will Shipley, big Will Shipley year for you.
That is a terrible number.
Big Will Shipley year. 39 is, you know, it is what it is. You know, 39 is, it's a pretty bad number.
It is. That's a bad number.
Even numbers, man. Wait till you're 40. You don't got to worry about all this other stuff.
Hey, listen, my last know. Year, my 30s. My daughter makes me feel old all the time.
Yeah, we'll see, man. 40s is the new 30. What am I doing this weekend? Yeah. Doing yard work.
Since Gales became a homeowner, this dude does he does yard work every weekend. He is mulch, like he's been turning into a gardener, which is good.
Yeah, I seen somebody post some like mulch shit on the timeline. Uh-huh. I was like, wow, that is a great job. Like I was like, like they were posting like new kicks. Like I would be excited about like some pine forest or some crate. Like I seen the mulch, the way that it was lined up perfectly with the edge. It's a whole new OCD thing, man. Like it's almost like it's crazy. It's crazy.
But your yard, I will say this though, your yard is it's impeccable. I will say that you. You and Sis have done a great job getting this all, Gail, keeping house.
Mr. Cross is talking about he needs a TikTok cheerleading video.
I already have one, man.
Ooh.
Some of my daughters. I'm not gonna say the name.
But yeah, man.
Thank you.
You're getting a lot of love in the chat. Bob says I've never seen a black dude blush before. Classic.
that's too funny.
Yeah, I mean, just last word, Tim.
Yo, thank you for the birthday wishes. Want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, because Sunday is my Mother's Day. To your wives and baby mamas. Not playing. But yeah, happy Mother's Day to all the real ones.
You know what? I forgot about Mother's Day. Shout out to my mom, rest in peace. But she's looking down. So. My angel out there. Shout out to all the great moms out there in the Eagles community. Shout out to all the dads like Nick Foles out there in the community. Father of Tom Brady, who got his ass roasted this weekend.
Yo,
last weekend.
That, did you see crazy. That?
No, I didn't. It was I saw the highlights of it, but the jokes were like crazy.
The black jokes?
I didn't see it.
Oh, boy, bro. I was like.
The Aaron Hernandez joke was like.
Yo. It got people in an uproar, bro.
Huh?
It got people in an uproar, bro. Like, Giselle's pissed. Aaron Hernandez's widow is pissed. Like, they went. Yeah, they went hard. They went in. It was no filter. It was no
fake. Yeah, that was pretty tough, man. I mean, again, a roast is a roast, but that roast was pretty tough.
Robert Kraft joke.
So, you know,
Tom Brady, you actually got mad about that one and went up to homeboy and said, "Hey, no."
Yeah, being from Paramount, we have Comedy Central. I mean, when Comedy Central was doing big things, I've seen a lot of roasts, but that roast, here's where roast used to be. That roast was about up here. So we'll see. Todd says, society's so soft these days.
He's so old school.
soft with the S-A-W-F-T. But at the end of the day, it's jokes. People laughed. Yeah. But other than that, I think I'm just going to chill. I'm going bowling tonight, maybe.
Nice.
I don't even bowl. I chose to start bowling because of Prime.
Text Mark Harkin. He's like a professional bowler, bro. He's a professional bowler.
Is he?
Yes, he's a professional bowler. He goes to Vegas. He goes to Vegas like once a month.
Oh, he's one of them dudes that spin it and then turn around and be like,
oh, he's nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Who do you think I am? I am.
He probably got a mixtape in bowling.
let's see. Phillies are up 7.
Hey, let's go.
Yeah, my brother says, imagine Patrice O'Neal was still alive. Yeah, that dude. Mm. That's my guy. Shout out to Marcus. Says, need an autism link. We are walking in the Eagles Autism Challenge. I will have the link. I appreciate you, Mark. Or anyone who wants to walk with us, the Eagles Autism Challenge is coming soon. But let me know if you're interested. See, Daz knows.
Oh, yeah. Bernie Mac or Patricia O'Neill would be mad funny.
Yeah. Shout out to his I did a short comedy, short movie with his wife, Patrice O'Neill's wife. Who helped produce that? Shout out to her. Yeah, Patrice O'Neal is hilarious. Yes. But Rome knows the meme. Rome knows the jokes.
Yo, I love that dude.
Who do you think you I am? So that's what I'm doing. I'm gonna bowl tonight.
Okay.
And go see my pops and my bro for dinner, and then
so
have a good weekend. First and foremost, shout out to you guys in the chat and everyone who. Stopped by and hung out for a Friday. I know it's Friday. Big shout out to Evan on vacation. Shout out to Primo and shout out to Hollis. But as always, it's Fly Eagles Fly, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.